Hey guys, this is the Muskie 360 Canada edition. I'm Danny Herbeck, and from here on out, we're going to do something a little different for the rest of the summer here. I wanted to incorporate a very popular, well-known Muskie lake not far from Eagle, where I'm out of, and that is going to be Lake of the Woods. And when I think Lake of the Woods, I think one name when it comes to big Muskies, and I was able to track him down, and it's your man, Joe Cooper. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Danny?
Good, good. I just wanted to, before we get rolling on this, why don't you let everybody kind of know who you are and what you do over on Lake of the Woods?
Yeah, so my name is Joe Cooper, and I live and guide at the Northwest Angle. Kind of grew up on the lake here down around the Rainy River and came up to the angle basically as soon as I could, and have been guiding since about 2010-ish, and have done mostly have primarily guided musky fishermen now for quite a few years. Of course, starting out, you know, there's walleyes are kind of the bread and butter anyways, but I fish on the lake here year round out of the Northwest Angle. I do ice fishing guiding and I'm out on the water all summer, and I'm just an independent guide that works through any of the resorts around the Northwest Angle, which is actually in Minnesota, but we fish Ontario waters primarily. So, that's kind of the gist of it, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, that stretch you're on Lake of the Woods is, more of the big fish water, in my opinion. I don't spend a lot of time on it. I mean, I fish it for a few days a year when we all kind of get together. That's how I actually got to meet you, was at the, at the Nestor Falls Muskie Cup. But that stretch of the water that you're on is some of the bigger fish water, in my opinion, on Lake of the Woods.
It's really kind of a special section of the lake. There's a lot happening here that makes it one of the better areas to fish. It's there's a major change in the geography here, where it goes from kind of mainly sand and mud flats to the Canadian Shield, and it all happens right around the angle, right on the border. And there's also kind of the lake funnels down from its widest point at like 60 miles wide, kind of funnels down to the Northwest Angle, which from east to west, it's probably only about 18 miles or so with islands in between. So there's current, big factor. That's always good on Canadian Shield lakes. And it's just right adjacent to the biggest open water section of the lake, Big Traverse Bay and Little Traverse Bay. And that creates some pretty unique conditions with like the wind moves a lot more water when you have such an open expanse like that. So you get kind of crazy things that happen with that. And
yeah. Anybody that knows Lake of the Woods, that, the tranquil area where that all necks down, that's a very popular area for big concentrations of fish, especially and leading into the fall majorly. Right. So
current is always good in the fall.
Yeah. But for right now, you're on the water every day. It's going to be kind of neat to compare notes, what you're seeing on Lake of the Woods and what I'm seeing on Eagle here, and if some of the trends kind of correlate together. What's going on? What are you seeing going on over there? What are you throwing? Give me the skinny of what's going on Lake of the Woods.
Well, our water levels have been a little high for the majority of the season, and so spent a lot of time with water a little bit cooler than what I would say is what you would find to be average, I guess, for this time of the season, and that made for a little bit different bite. But last week, we had that long stretch of hot and calm weather, and that sent the water temps right up to where they should be, and fish started showing up on mid-lake reefs and main lake rock structure, kind of like you'd expect them to when the water temps were what they were. But one thing I found was, we were finally seeing a lot of, having a lot of good encounters throughout the day, but not really getting the bites on the lures you'd expect. At least for me, the bucktails were not happening like you'd think they would be with water temps kind of skyrocketing like they did. And you know, we were still getting some good bites and everything, but for the amount of fish we were seeing, I was you know, you'd think you'd get a few more. So it was nice to finally be fishing like it was summer, I would say. And then things really started to kick into gear last weekend when we had a bit of a weather change after a pretty long stretch of stable weather. And so since then it's been pretty windy and some, you know, storms rolling through and cloudy days and stuff, like good fishing conditions. So still seeing good numbers of fish, but and we're getting more bites now, so that's nice. Or fish are just more likely to bite it. And yeah, it's been kind of a weird season overall, but I feel like we're switching into where you'd think it'd be for now.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, this week was one of the, you know, the tougher weeks I've had. You know, numbers of fish were, it was like super intense, short little windows. I mean, you would fish 6-8 spots and not see a fish, and then you'd wheel up on, you know, one spot and there'd be 4 or 5 there and you might get a crack at one. But I mean, same thing over here. It you know, the cold, the water, like, it was the last 2 days, it was like 52 degrees here. Like, it felt like I was, today I felt like I was fishing a September turnover day. Like, it was miserable out there. And we caught, you know, we got lucky enough to catch one, but that was the only real chance at a fish we had all day. And I feel we need some, it's going to take a couple days for the fish to snap out of it. In my opinion, it was tough. I mean, it was really tough. The fish, you know, the water went from, you know, mid to high 70s. Tonight I had 67 degrees. So like, we're talking a 10 degree temperature swing on the surface temp. And I feel like it just sent those fish into a major shock. So hopefully after, you know, the next couple days, things will turn around here, and we're trending towards, you know, a better part of the moon, in my opinion, anyway. So I think, and I'm hoping it's on the up and up, right?
Yeah, we got definitely some real stable weather coming up, and it's not going to be uncomfortably hot like it was, and a little more wind each day, you know, which is pretty much what you would expect in August and September, I guess. It seems like the wind doesn't quit, but yeah.
But yeah, same thing here. Like, the bucktail bite is there, but it's not like the dominator that you would normally feel that it should be. I mean, are you feeling like the fish are staying a bit deeper than normal this year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I, you know, a lot of times I like to have the guy in the bow throwing a bucktail, and, or whoever's in the bow. And, this year, I don't know if I've really done that, except for maybe early on when was still trying to kind of figure out if they're eating the bucktails or not. But, yeah, I mean, I love fishing crankbaits. I'm always got somebody throwing a crankbait, and, this has been a good year for that. You know, I still don't throw a lot of rubber stuff throughout the summer. Just because it's like the snags are,
yeah, lake of the woods eats you alive.
they'll get you to, you know, find where your line is, your patience for definitely. I'm like pulling right up on top of rocks to get a bulldog out, and I'm like, yeah, this thing isn't going back on. But yeah, it's definitely been a different season. I mean, it's been like really since 2021, I would say, was the last time around here that we had the water temps kind of go through the seasonal warm up and cool down and everything like you'd expect them to. We've had, like, you know, the high water year, the water was really cool. And then even last year, we didn't really get into those mid 70 degree temperatures. And this year we were seeing that here, like mid 70s, but I think with the volume of water in the lake, it's not really, it didn't really warm up throughout the water column like it
No, no, exactly. It caused the fish to kind of hang in like a transition forever. They didn't.
Totally.
It took them forever to get out on the main lake stuff. And there, yes, but there was always a few. There was always a few on the main lake to kind of keep you out there. But then there was always some back in the thick stuff that. So it was hard to come up with a set pattern. And then one day, you know, they'd be screaming on the main lake, and then the next day you're in the weeds. It was. It's been a really tough and overall. Tougher season, in my opinion. I'm not
100%.
I'm 100%.
I'd say the exact same thing you just said. I've like to a T that what you said.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing big fish. I've caught some big fish, but overall sightings and encounters with big fish, I would say, is down. A lot of nice 42 to 47, 48 inch fish, but the numbers of like true giants I'm seeing are down. In my opinion, this year. Not that they're not there, because I know they're there. It's this cooler water is kind of keeping them doing something a little bit different. And I would like to say I can, you know, I will figure it out at some point, or conditions are going to change where they come to me. But you just got to kind of keep doing your thing. And like right now, this last week, it was just, I mean, honestly, the best thing you could do was put your blinders on and grind. There was no special ticket, no, you know, key to Pandora's box by any means that was separating you from the pack. It was keep your head down and grind.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have always looked forward to this cold front in August. The first cold front in August for me, I know that a lot of times things will kind of kick into fall mode for a few days, and all of a sudden you see crappies starting to bite and walleyes in the mud, and I've talked about this with other guys in the past too. Like, I've always liked kind of those first few fall windows that pop up, early September. A lot of times you start to see that, and I haven't spent much time on eagle, a few trips late in the season, but the way I fish here, it could just be the way that I like to fish with crankbaits, and, you know, letting them float up and stuff like that. It's not like there isn't still some tough times, but I like this time of year. And I don't know if I've just kind of got that, but you hit it on the head with the transition thing, being stuck in transition. That's exactly how I would explain like all of July damn near. It was like they were stuck in transition.
Yeah. No, the main ticket for me the last, you know, week and a half, a lot of these fish are trending deeper than normal. And they're on like, they're not the one thing that I have noticed is anything like, not to say that there's not fish there, 'cause I mean, the lake's huge and there's, you know, different bodies of like different basins, you know, fish are doing different things, but the areas that I've been fishing, it seems like anything connected to shore is like a dead zone. You know, weeds have been good in the evening, but like an isolated hump has been the ticket. Shallow main lake rock humps. And the main key to that is walleyes. The more walleyes on a spot, the more muskies are going to be there, has kind of been the thing I've been looking for lately, and where I've found, you know, the biggest concentrations of fish and the fish that are most aggressive. And for me, it's been like when they're trending that deep, it's a deeper crankbait. Like I like to throw like the triple D and some grandmas and that type of stuff, but it's primarily a rubber bite, tubes, bulldogs, Medusas, you know, and the bulldogs and the Medusas I'm throwing all have the extra weight on the head. So you can get down and, you know, fish them fast. You know, I don't, when they're not necessarily in a real feeding mood, just slow rolling a Medusa or slow pumping a Medusa or a tube or a bulldog you're not going to get any bites. You got to get it down there and you got to work it hard and fast to get a reaction bite. And that's kind of been the only thing that's been working for me.
Yeah, and I guess I kind of do that with my cranks where it's, you know, a hard rips, like a hook set style rip. I usually just do it for the second half of the retrieve, kind of if I'm throwing towards some shallower stuff, make sure that crank gets away from the rocks that you're going to be ripping them into.
Nothing worse than busting the bill on your favorite crankbait.
Yeah. Or watching somebody else do it.
Yeah, that's even worse. It's not so bad when you break it yourself, but when you give it to a client and they snap it off, it's hard to swallow sometimes.
Just like when you let your buddy drive your truck and he goes in the ditch and you just gotta you gotta think he was screwing off somehow.
Yeah.
You know? It's
like, yeah.
But if you go in the ditch, it's not your fault.
I mean, just, never.
Something else
never.
Happened. But no, it's That rip and stop with the cranks, the granny, those 9-inch grannies are so good for it. They just come to a hard stop. And sometimes I think, you know, it's like the fish have no choice but to open up their mouth and eat it because they don't have breaks. And it's, you know, but I always talk about the, you know, the letting it float up, you know, maybe 8-10 feet out from the boat or something. And a lot of times I'll give it a couple quick rips before the float, just in case you got one hot on it. But there's so many times where that crankbait gets all the way to the surface before you even start to see the fish come up behind it. And, you know, occasionally I'll be able to see it happen on the live scope or something, where I happen to see a lure floating and how far back the fish will be following in. And I think crank or rubber is good for that when they're like following late behind it. But like I said, I'm reluctant to throw rubber until we're fishing like 20 feet deep. But the dead rise is so good for bringing in those ones that are, you know, like 8-10 feet behind it. And,
it gives them time to catch up to it. And then you can kind of work, it gives you a second chance to work them instead of just keep pulling away from them and then they lose interest, right?
Totally. They just never quite catch up with it. And it's kind of crazy how deep they'll be. Sometimes your crank will be, you know, maybe just a couple feet under the surface and those fish are still, you know, probably 12 feet deep or something. But they, from what I've seen, they really like the float. And it's like you got to let it sit and float up and they actually like pick up speed and catch up to it when it's just floating.
Yeah. Now I know like
stop.
Oh man. Like I said, I only fish Lake of the Woods, you know, a handful of times a year and it's a different section altogether than, you know, where you're fishing. But it seems like the fish there, like we, you know, I know you threw a lot of crankbaits and that was like one of my things that I started picking up on when I started fishing, you know, that tournament out of Nestor. And it seems like, you know, compared to what I throw for crankbaits on Eagle, the fish on Lake of the Woods like a little bit smaller crankbait. You know, don't be afraid to throw like the 6-8 inch, you know, size crankbaits. And the fish tend to really like the smaller type stuff. And I mean, I'm just assuming that, but that's the success I've had on it.
I think you're very right there. Like I do like to throw 10 inch jakes and stuff a lot, but the 8-inch jake has been a hot one for me, recently here. And I've always kind of preached the super sheds and how well they are. It's, I feel like at least for me, if I just need to catch a muskie or we just need to see a muskie, it's like we're putting a super shad on. I mean, that's my confidence bait. And it's probably just one that you catch the most fish on whatever you throw the most,
well,
I guess.
I mean, at the end of the day, they can only bite what's clipped on your leader. But if
it
makes you feel more in the game when you got your confidence bait on too, right? So
totally. I expect there to be a fish coming in behind a super shad every time it comes back to the boat, you know. And,
I know exactly how you feel when you got your confidence bait on. Could you imagine losing it? That's what happened to me tonight. I was throwing my best tube. I've caught 16 muskies on this tube this summer and had a fish grab it and my snap opened up, lost the fish, lost the tube, came back with a straight snap. I'm still just bent about it right now.
Oh, it's devastating when something like that happens. you know, I never really believed it, that I just couldn't imagine how a fish would open up those snaps, but I finally saw it happen a few years ago now. It was actually on like the 14 inch tube, and yeah, like, of course, the same, just like when your buddy puts your truck in the ditch, you know, you wonder if he ever snapped it in the first place. I'm like, come on, it had to have been unsnapped. And he's like, no, I know I snapped it. And I'm like, well, okay, all right, I've heard of it, so I believe it now. And yeah, those certain baits, you know, they just turn them around and figure out a way to, it's like unwrapping a starburst with your tongue, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. This, I had it happen last year too, and I thought same thing. It was just a one-off, and it happened again just tonight, and it's only ever happened to me on tubes, the two times it's happened to me, it's been on tubes. And I feel those fish headhunt them so hard that, you know, that leader and that snap is in their mouth when they grab the bait versus when they're, you know, chasing down a crankbait or a bucktail, they're grabbing the tail end of the bait or the middle of the bait a lot of times. I hate to say it, but I think I'm going to have to go away from the snap on my tube rod and go to like a split ring or something, because I can't have this happen anymore. I mean, losing a bait is one thing, but having it, you know, attached to a fish is another.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a tough one to take. And I do think that I think it would be pretty rare for the fish to not be able to drop it, just because I've seen.
Oh, you haven't seen me set the hook.
Yeah. Well, I also have seen like how deep the fish take the tubes too. And yeah, I mean, it would be tough to drop that thing. I mean, it's
either way, it's not a good scenario. I feel horrible about it. And I mean, as you know, a guy that's on the water every day, yeah, this is two times in, you know, 360 days of fishing darn near that it's happened. But I mean, I feel like I gotta to make a change to try and make it better, right?
Well, there's only one way they can get to be 55, and it's definitely not if you're letting them swim away with your bait in their mouth. You know, yeah. It is that level of convenience that is with the snap that you kind of, I mean, I catch myself like, whatever. It's like, I just dropped my split ring pliers in the lake, so I'm going to use this one with the snap or something. But yeah, I mean, it's almost at the same time kind of a no-brainer, because you're eliminating a point of potential failure. So why not? You know, why would you?
Yeah. But yeah, well, I mean, what with this upcoming, you know, it looks like finally tomorrow the weather's going to straighten back out and kind of return back to summer here. What are you kind of predicting for the upcoming week? You know, what are you thinking you're going to do when you're on the water here once the sun returns and, you know, things kind of return back to normal? Are you going to stay out on the main lake and kind of till things kind of turn back around, or are you going to go looking for something different till things kind of change?
Well, I'll probably kind of keep working points and points with extensions a bit until it starts to seem like maybe there's not as many fish showing up on those spots, I'll head back out to those reefs for sure. And even still can pull some fish off those reefs, I think. But, like those points kind of from now until from now until the end of the season, really, like a lot of these points are consistently good and mostly because they're probably current related. You know, I like fishing the current when things go into a pattern like what we've had here the last few days, and I'll probably keep fishing some current. But yeah, there's also a good sand bite, and it's just, you're kind of running all over the place. The way this year has been, it's pretty tough to make a confident prediction as to where I'm going to be heading to, but, you can bet I'll be throwing crankbaits, super shads, even in the sand there. I love that. So
it's crazy how you can throw that bait in the sand and peel it into the water. And it's like they're some of those muskies, especially on the sunny days on Lake of the Woods, those fish love laying. Like it's amazing that you can't see their fins out of the water.
Oh, it's so great when, you know, sometimes even like a topwater, you damn near drag it off the sand and you see a wake start behind it. And you're like, there's not even enough room behind the bait for a fish to be swimming. Like, what the hell?
But, yeah, they love, I haven't, like I said, I don't have the experience on Lake of the Woods, but the sand bite for me, I've only had it happen a couple times. And that's when it's got to be sunny for the sand, personally, in my opinion. I don't know if you've seen it when it's, you know, on cool downs like this, or not, but it seems like the sun really, really ramps up the, you know, those little garages, I like to call them, two little rocky points with a little sand beach in there. That's money.
Deadly, deadly setup for sure. And, you know, definitely the sand that has, you know, good weeds in it, then I don't mind going in there for cool down like this. But when you are looking at like a west facing bare sand bay, yeah, that's the sunny days, those can be a special place. And there's definitely something about sand that that they just love, and something facing, you know, southwest where it's getting good sun.
I think they just go up there and just burp and fart and digest, I think is what they're doing there. Literally zero. They're sitting on the couch watching YouTube is what they're doing.
Yeah, photosynthesis. They're just soaking up the sun and the warm and taking a big old musky dump up there probably for us to swim in. And
but yeah, no, same type of thing here. I mean, the fish are there. We just kind of, this cold snap really put them in a funk. Like, we were out tonight. I saw, you know, we had two actually follow. I saw a couple that like lazily followed on scope. They were like 10, 12 feet down and they didn't even come up to even see them. And they were moving at like a snail's pace. So once the sun comes out, once the water warms up, I feel like, you know, everything's going to kind of return back to normal. A guy can, you know, maybe get the bucktail bite rolling again, because when it did warm up, the bucktails were working. You know, you always got, this time of year, you always have to have a bucktail in the bow of the boat. It's just cardinal rule. If there is
mid-70s.
Yeah, if there is an active fish, the bucktail, it's just got a, you know, such a high conversion rate. And it's, you know, for a guy that, you know, not necessarily as a hardcore musky angler, but a guy that, you know, musky fishes, I mean, it's a very easy bait to work. You know, it's, and then, you know, stick with the, you know, a jerk bait, you know, and some rubber, and kind of let the fish tell you what's going on.
I haven't really got a chance to use many of these other big dive and rise baits. Like, you know, there's that like big Suic now, and there's a couple other ones too, where I got to know the guy that made those bar fighters, and
those are I have one left to my name, and it is a very prized possession.
I threw bar fighters like all season a while back, and I hadn't really thrown it much this year for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I finally threw it on yesterday.
I picked mine up today. That's how desperate I was.
I put mine on at the end of the day yesterday, and it was just like fish were coming up, and I was like, man, how did I forget about this thing? I mean,
I feel like the price they go for, I feel like it's like I feel guilty even throwing it now.
Oh, man. Yeah, I got lucky, I guess, and, you know, it's all about who you know, but I've definitely destroyed a few bar fighters. I remember the one time it was getting dark out and, you know, buddy landed one right on the rock, and I swear it was like a pinata full of change that just exploded out there.
Oh, man. Yeah, if you can get your hands on one, they're hard to come by nowadays. But they are a deadly, deadly jerk bait.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something about that roll or shimmy that it has I think that's gotta be, you know, it's a unique thing.
Well, it's just such a reactionary bait. Like when they're tough and ignorant, that bait does get fish to move. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a reason that, you know, Suic what was it, 1930 or something, they came up with Suics, and we're still using them. I mean, that's just something about that dive and rise motion that's tough to,
yeah,
they just can't resist it.
Yeah. But if somebody's, we're going to wrap this up here. It's getting late. I can barely keep my eyes open here. If somebody's looking to go to Lake of the Woods and wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach you, Joe?
You can try calling my phone. It's probably going to go to voicemail, but I'll get back to you hopefully. And, my phone number is 218-280-3734. I got a website, joecooperlotw.com. And you can always just look me up on social media, Joseph Cooper or Yago Joe, I guess. And, yeah, set it up that way. And my email is joecooper89@gmail.com. But if somebody was looking to make a date with you, what are they going to do?
Well, just check me out on social media, Danny Herbeck, or, you know, give me a call personally on my cell or shoot me a text, 807-216-8866.
807-216. I'm just writing it down here.
we'll see what this warm weather brings. And I mean, honestly, after the day I had today, it was a tough one. It can only get better in my opinion. So
I keep saying that, but I don't know, I'm on a pretty legendary streak of bad luck, not fishing wise, but just everything else. But I mean, it can only get better. That's right.
Yeah.
You got it.
All right. But, well, I'm sure I'll talk to you in the next days to come, and we'll get together at the end of next week and kind of let everybody know what's going on here again, and, get everybody up to date.
Hey, good luck, man.
All right. See you. Take care. Time.